Welcome to the Upward Running Podcast, where faith fuels your fitness journey.
Welcome back to the Upward Running Podcast. This is your one stop each week to be motivated and inspired to get off the couch and onto the running trail, where you can in turn inspire others to do the same. Let's learn, laugh, and leap into running together, giving God the glory for what we are able to do in His name. Amen. Well, I am your running host, Dean Thompson, coming to you once again from the Upward Sports Studio. Well, it's been a minute, hasn't it? But we are back. This week, we will share another Jerry Snyder story. This time, it's about the connection between a necktie and a half marathon. Unconventional, as usual, from Jerry. And then I want to talk about how being unafraid is actually different than not being fearful. We'll talk about that. And joining me for those and many other things are Run for God founder Mitchell Hollis.
Thanks for having me, Dean.
Good. I said Run for God founder. I can't get that out.
So
Upward Running Director.
Yeah. Just call me. Either way. I don't care.
It's Mitchell.
So Snowmageddon coming in tonight.
Supposedly.
That's what they're saying.
That's what they
say. Or tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning. So we don't get much snow here where we live. And of course, as usual, back a week ago, they were saying like 10 inches. Well, now it's like 2 to 3.
Oh, so, I never heard them say 10 inches.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Beginning of the week, it was big numbers.
But, yeah. Yeah. Now they're saying 2 to 4 inches is what the last thing that I heard.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We will.
You know what I did yesterday?
What'd you do?
It's been really bad timing for me, and I haven't been able to clear the leaves in my front yard because it's either been really windy, so you can't just blow leaves when it's windy, or it's been wet.
Yeah.
Or I haven't had time. One of the three has just conspired against me over the past couple of months. And so I finally, yesterday, I was like, I got to get out there and clean those leaves because I got to build a snowman. And it's harder to do if you have leaves in there. So.
So, first podcast since January 1st. Any resolutions this year?
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll talk about those here in a little bit.
Okay.
Running resolutions.
Yeah.
In particular.
Okay.
Personal resolutions. You know, I really don't know that I have any.
Yeah.
I do want to eat better. I do. I want to improve my diet. Get back to eating a more plant-based diet, which I understand you're doing as well, right? Not necessarily.
I kind of got my hand slapped again at this physical.
Yeah.
My physical end of last month, you know, doctor basically sat down and said, you know, they try to scare you to death.
That's right.
And I'm going to pull back from the, you know, I don't think I need to lose weight. My weight's healthy. My good cholesterol is very good.
But your bad cholesterol is
bad. It was
bad.
Pretty bad. And so, you know, probably going to close down the smoker for a little while.
Well, this is a good time of year to do that.
I just don't want to, you know, first thing she recommended was a statin. And I know a lot of people are on statins and they help a lot of people. I just don't want to do that when I know what I need to do to fix it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things I know, because I did. Year before last, I corrected it. And then, you know, my smoker looked awful lonely on the back porch. She just didn't have, you know, much one-on-one with me. So I fired her back up last year. Well, cholesterol. So I've got to find the balance.
Yeah.
Because I know what to do to fix. So I'm not one of those. I don't want to take something. It's kind of like taking ibuprofen when you need to rest.
Yeah.
And you're just masking something. Not saying it's masking. It's two different things.
Well, it's the easy way out is what it is.
Yeah. And I just don't particularly like medication.
And so, as much as we talk about doing the hard thing, it's more worth doing the hard thing.
Yeah.
And it's more satisfying to get over the high cholesterol because you did it the right way, right?
It is, but a brisket's also satisfying.
That is too.
So it's about, I just got to find the balance.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm faster now. I am faster because I'm lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And I became lighter when they pulled two teeth out of my head earlier this week.
How did that go? I hadn't even talked to you since
then. That...
I meant to call you like the hour after it happened, hoping you would still be on the laughing gas.
Well, no laughing gas. They just numbed it all up and yanked those puppies out. And they came out easier than they said they thought they would because one of them was in two pieces.
Ouch.
Well, it was actually, I hate to admit this to people, it was actually a temporary crown. that the post of the temporary crown had broken off.
Right.
And anyway, it was a nasty mess.
It's like me wearing 30-day contacts for 3 months.
Yeah, well, I still do that. But
yeah.
But anyway, they've been pulled out. I've got to go back now at some point in time and get implants and other things done. But for right now, I'm minus two teeth, so I should be faster. That's the way I look at it.
Right.
Right?
Maybe, yeah. So I've started something new. I'm trying. I'm a little bit sore from it today. So I think I'm going to have to get a knee issue taken care of at some point. But I started having the little nagging knee. It hadn't been near as bad as it was the last time, but it happened sooner than last time.
With your running, when you started running.
With my running, yeah. So I just started thinking and reading, and, you know, we tend to sit. But I talked to some others as well, and maybe it's a strength issue. I don't know, with my legs and around my knees.
Well,
and so I did some reading, and I learned about I knew about it, but I learned about the benefits, some of the benefits of rucking.
Yeah.
Which is nothing more than wearing a backpack with weight in it.
Yep.
Well, I went online and bought an actual rucksack that has the plate in it and everything. And I thought, I'll just start with a 20-pound plate. And so with the bag and everything, it's 25 pounds. Dean, that's hard.
Yeah.
I walked 3 miles yesterday with a 25-pound bag on, and it's tough. It's really tough.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is, I was telling Lane about this. We haven't podcasted since I started doing this, have we?
No.
So the day after I did it the first time, which was a couple weeks ago, the day after, I just knew I was going to be sore because it was really hard that first time. I probably shouldn't have started with 3 miles, but I did. And I got done, and I was give out. I just felt like I needed to go sit down, and I just knew I was going to be sore the next day, but I wasn't sore. But my legs were still fatigued the next day. Remember how Lane talked about with moto pacing on the bike? It never really got into his lungs.
Yeah.
It just solely got into his. I feel like that's what happened. I felt like when you get done doing that, you feel like you just got done swimming as opposed to running.
Right, right.
You know how you just.
But it's your legs instead of your upper body. Which
right.
Is
you know, when you get done swimming, you just want to go home and take a nap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're just fatigued. And that's the way that does. So it's very different. But I'm enjoying it.
Well,
so I'll keep you posted on how this goes. I'm just going to do more and more of it and see if that helps my knee.
Well, I know we have others that listen to this podcast who do that as well. So, you'll have to keep us up to date.
Sure.
Our post of the week comes from Joni Erin Adams. She said, I got my 2-hour run in this morning, 10 degrees and a 16-mile-per-hour icy wind. I almost got it completed before black ice hit. Grateful because I'll probably be on the treadmill for a while now. We're supposed to get possibly 14 inches of snow. The predictions are usually exaggerated. Church canceled for tomorrow, and the local grocery store is closing at 4 p.m. today. On yesterday's run, I saw a house that looked good from a distance, but when you got close, you could see some serious foundation issues. I think that's how we are sometimes on social media and at church. We polish up well, but underneath, our foundation is shaky.
Hmm.
Good stuff. The Midwest got blasted by snow, didn't they?
Yeah.
Whoa, man! I think it was in the Kansas City area. They got more snow than they'd had in a number of years.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. But I don't think we're going to get that much here. But we're going to get some. Although, you know, usually when they say we're going to get 2 to 4 inches, we usually either get nothing. Or we get a foot.
Well, in the blizzard of 93, they weren't expecting
much. That's true.
It was just several inches they were expecting then.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll have to see.
I knew it was going to be interesting around here on Friday because Paul Barris came out of retirement to say something. And Paul is always very conservative.
Yeah.
He's always been very conservative. So the fact that he's saying, better watch out. That piqued
better,
my
better
interest.
Watch out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul's a good one for
Paul
sure.
Paul Barris is a local.
He's the best.
Forecaster, by the way. Yeah. Yeah. Paul said it would be like this. If you live in the Chattanooga Valley, you know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
But
and he is the best in the Chattanooga Valley.
Yeah. And I, you know, You know, I was a junior forecaster.
That's right.
When I
was a kid. That's right.
And then Lane and Lane and both were junior forecasters.
That's right. So yeah. So people should be listening to you.
No, they shouldn't. Because I'm one of those, I tend to hype it up because I yeah. I want to wish it into existence because I want a lot of snow.
Anyway, back to this post. Running out in the cold is okay. I saw she had her face covered, you know, which is comfortable for a lot of people. A lot of people, it's hard for me to have my face covered. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I tried running with my face covered the other day because I had just had these teeth pulled and that cold air hurt a little bit. And so I put something over my mouth and it's just, gosh, it's uncomfortable.
Suffocating.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
But everything's good to go out and run down to a pretty cold temperature. But the ice is a big deal. She talked about, you know, once there was black ice and she encountered that, she needed to stop doing it. And that's true because, you know, it only takes one bad step and you fall down, you break something, and now you're out of commission for a while. but thank God for treadmills.
Sure.
So if you have, I had to run on a treadmill a couple of times this past week and I don't like them.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for them at the same time. Yeah. But I love this analogy she has with the house and the foundation issues. And it made me think about how when we are out in public and we're around people, sometimes we have a tendency to maybe judge people because they look a certain way or they act a certain way. And we have no idea what that background of that person is. We have no idea what their foundation is. They could have a terribly broken foundation, and it makes sense that their house is a little askew.
Right.
And in that case, what we should be doing, instead of calling them out for what their house looks like, we should be trying to help them fix their foundation. And if we were doing that and focused on that, this world would be a better place, don't you think?
For sure.
The run of the week comes from Rebecca Wang. She says, John and I ran a 4-miler today called the Donut Dash. Sounds like my kind of race. John did the crazy 8 where you start by eating a donut and then every mile you stop and eat a donut before continuing. I chose to run without the donuts to compare times with last year. I improved my time by 7 minutes and 25 seconds and finished with a 44:01 time. Amazing what hard work and going the distance does. This race was a prediction run where you can't use a watch or any other timing aids. I was only 1 second off my time and tied for the closest time, so I received a donut floaty and a $20 gift card. Best of all was to see several of my running peeps.
The question that just jumps out at me is, what is a donut floaty? I've never heard of that.
Well, I assume it's one of those that fits around your waist to put to be in the pool and... That's what I assumed it was.
I'm thinking root beer float, donut floaty.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that sounds disgusting.
I can see where that would be confusing. This sounds like my kind of race. You know, I've always wanted to do that Krispy Kreme race in Charlotte, North Carolina, where it's a 5-mile race. You run 2.5 miles, you eat an entire box of Krispy Kreme donuts, and then you run back.
And there's garbage cans lying on the road coming back.
That's right, just in case. And I understand they use them.
I'm sure.
Yeah. So, but anyway, in this case, man, it sounds like her hard work is paying off.
Yeah.
7 minutes and 25 seconds faster. And it sounds like she predicted she was going to be that much faster as well. So that makes it even more impressive.
To miss it by 1 second on a 4-mile run, that's next level.
It's downright impressive.
I don't think any of our kids ever did that on the ETA runs we used to do.
No. We've had some be within a few seconds, but I don't know that we've ever had one within 1 second. But good job. Our trivia question. Now, our trivia question, we're saying this is from last week, but it really wasn't from last week. This is from many weeks ago.
Yeah.
This was actually from when we were in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And that podcast that I did there with
Claire.
Yeah. And this came from her son, and that's why it is a non-running related question. And it is, what is the only country in the world that doesn't have a rectangular flag? Did you know the answer to this one?
I didn't.
Nepal has a flag. You can see we've got pictures here. I'll put this up on the screen if you're watching the podcast. It's kind of two triangles. And this is what I thought was interesting about this. This is what Google tells us about this flag. Google says the two triangles symbolize the Himalaya Mountains and represent the two major religions, Hinduism and Buddhism. Okay, that's what the, that's what Google says it is. The country, the actual stance of the country in their documents, it says, according to its official description, the crimson in the flag stands for victory in war or courage and is also the color of the rhododendron. The flag's blue border signifies Nepali people's desire for peace. The moon on the flag is a symbol of the peaceful and calm nature of Nepalis, while the sun represents the aggressiveness of Nepali warriors. Now, those two descriptions are nothing alike, and yet both of them claim to be true, and I guess the...
You have to go with the second one.
The moral of the story is, don't pay attention to what Google or the internet tells you.
Yeah.
Because it may or may not be wrong. And in this case, this is, I'm sure this is completely, nobody did this on purpose to try to push an agenda or anything else. They were just wrong.
Probably AI.
Probably so. Yep. And that's why I say AI is never going to be scary like people think it is, because AI is always going to be limited by the programmers.
Yeah.
You know, we always used to call it garbage in, garbage out when I was young. That was the big thing about programming computers. Mm-hmm. Same thing applies to AI.
Sure.
Upward Sports equips churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. Whether you're a sports fanatic or on staff at a church, Upward Sports will give you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. At Upward Sports, we want to help your church make a difference and give you increased opportunities to share the gospel. Learn more today at upward.org. That's upward.org.
All right, we're back, and it's you still have time, I guess, to start a class in February, right?
Sure.
I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, we're gonna have
as of today, we're still waiting on. I put out a couple videos the past 2 weeks. It's January the 9th right now. We're on pins and needles. This app should drop any minute. Literally, it's in the hands of Apple and Google.
All we can do is what they ask us to do and try to make it comply with their rules and things. And
yeah, but I think we're there now. I think all the back and forth is done. We're just waiting on, and you're at their mercy. There is nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And that is the frustrating part. But hats off to the programmers on this project. There's been a handful, several programmers who have been working on this literally for a year now. We've been in there testing it. We've been in there playing with it. It's incredible. It's only going to get better as we go. But hats off to them. I mean, Brian and his team. I mean, Thanksgiving. I mean, they were up all hours of the night. I mean, I was getting messages from Brian and talking to Brian over Thanksgiving break. I mean, Christmas.
They haven't stopped.
They haven't.
Nope.
And Brian and his team have earned a well-deserved vacation when this gets over with. So,
yes.
Brian, if you're listening, thanks for all you do. JV, the whole team, Les,
Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been incredible. So, thank you guys for all that you do. Everybody's gonna love this app.
Hopefully, it's really out by the time you hear this.
Hope so. If we don't, we might be heading over to Apple and Google headquarters, but I don't know if that'll do any good. So,
well, I got this story. This is an amazing story, just absolutely amazing. So, you know, I've talked before about my old high school coach, Richard Westbrook, who celebrated last year his 50th year of running every single day. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that a running streak works is you have to run at least a mile a day to count as having run for that day. This one's even more amazing. This fellow by the name of Robert Raven is kind of his nickname, Kraft. He lives down in South Beach, Miami, and he just celebrated his 50th year. And you say, well, Westbrook's a year ahead of him. And he is. However, this guy has run the exact same 8-mile route 18,263 days in a row. For 50 years, he's run the same route on the beach, in the sand. I don't have words to even think about. How do you, he's never out of town. He's always there. People show up there. People, I saw there was a message board. I was reading about this, and that people were talking about how this is not true. There's no way this guy has never been out of town, blah, blah, blah. But the truth is that people show up. They know where he's going to be and what time of day he runs. He does it at the same time every day too.
Really?
People just show up there to run with him. So if he didn't show up, people would know it. And people, he's got to be there because people are waiting for him.
So how old is Robert? Do we know that?
60. No. 72, I want to say.
Okay.
I want to say he's 72. Yes, he's 72.
Wow.
He's actually on the world streak runners list.
Yeah.
Richard Westbrook is 6th and he's 7th.
Really?
Yeah. On that. So.
Well, all of the guys on that list are a special breed of people.
No kidding.
They're just wired different.
Yeah. No kidding. Anyway, he's had over 3,700 runners have joined him on this run at one time or another. He's had somebody join him from all 50 states and from 60 different countries. I had never heard of this guy, and apparently he's a legend. And I just think it's cool. They just named a road after him.
Really?
On his 50th year, they named a road. One of the roads that he runs on, and I guess he runs down one of these roads.
Probably runs down the beach and back on the road. Or
maybe. I don't know how he does it.
The road, but back on the beach, yeah.
Anyway, they named a road after him there, and it's just an astounding thing. He just about lost his condo. Apparently, they're having some difficulties with condos and things going on in Florida in general. And he just about lost it. He had a GoFundMe, which I'm sure after getting all the publicity for this 50th year has been fully funded by this point.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he's going to be able to continue doing this. And some of the people that I saw talking about him were talking about how this guy has not been well for that whole 50 years. There were days where he was in incredible pain running this. Now, you may look at that and you may go, well, that's crazy. Why would you do that? That's dumb. It's bad for you. I get it. But this is impressive. You know what I mean? And he ran through that and got through that. And I can't imagine on a day where the normal streak runner has a major problem and you run a mile for that day just to get through that day, he's still got 8 miles to run.
Yeah.
And that's a lot.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it. So.
And how many hurricanes has he dealt with over 50 years?
I read where they talked about that, where he was running during Hurricane Andrew. And how they were trying to tell him not to run during Hurricane Andrew, and he was out there doing it anyway.
Yeah, that's like telling me or you not to breathe, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not an option for him.
That's exactly right. So kudos to Raven, Robert Kraft, not the guy that owns the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, we got a new one from Jerry Snyder. And it's called A Tie at Mile 4. Keep laughing. As long as you're laughing, you still have hope. That comes from Mo Howard of the Three Stooges. The Three Stooges were an American comedy act whose career lasted from 1922 to 1970. They were famous for their movies and short films. Masters of slapstick comedy, they are still popular today. And their fan club is one of the oldest fan clubs in the world. Here is comedian and author Paula Poundstone's opinion of the group. Quote, I mean, I do love clever and witty, but I think that the Three Stooges were geniuses. They'd have to be for their appeal to have lasted this long. And about that appeal, in Amber, Pennsylvania, you'll find a place called the Stoogium, a 10,000-square-foot, three-story building with 100,000 pieces of Stoogabilia. 464 miles west of Amber is Columbus, Ohio. Since 1980, on the third Sunday in October, the city hosts a marathon and half marathon race. Runner's World magazine rated it as one of the top 20 marathons in the country, and USA Today called it one of the top 10 fall marathons. The race benefits Nationwide Children's Hospital. There are 7,000 runners in the marathon and 11,000 in the half marathon. I have been part of this adventure since 1986 when I ran my first marathon on a very cold day. And God bless the man who gave me a pair of gloves at the starting line when his friend didn't show up to claim them. I made it to the finish line in just over 5 hours. In the coming years, I would break the four-hour barrier three times with a personal best of 3 hours and 37 minutes. October 20th, 2024, I'm in Columbus to run the half marathon. I don't really have any business being there. The half dozen 5K races I ran in getting ready for this day have been less than stellar. I'm coming back from a long stretch of injury and illness, but I decided to bite off more than I can chew and chew it anyway. My first rule of running is have fun. And I am. Waiting for me at the 4 mile of the 13.1 miles I'll cover that day is my friend Karen. We have not seen each other for over 30 years. Knowing I'm excited about all things funny, she has a special gift for me. A necktie. It's not just any necktie. This tie, usually worn with a dress shirt, is decorated with a picture of the Three Stooges. I will wear it the rest of the race. Just beyond the finish line of any race like this are photographers waiting to take your picture as you proudly display your finisher medal. The Three Stooges are Larry, Moe, and Curly Joe. I folded the tie so that the photographer could only see two of them. That meant when the picture was developed, you would see Jerry, that's me, Moe, and Curly Joe, the new Three Stooges.
This is a little bit different take from Jerry.
It is. Are you a Three Stooges fan?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
I used to watch it when I was a kid.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And when I was a kid, I didn't realize it was that old. As old as it is.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were out before television. And then when television came along, they started their show. I guess it was early 50s. When did TV really kind of take off?
TV was taken off in the 50s. I mean, yeah. TV was around when they started, but it wasn't very popular at that time. It was a new thing.
Yeah.
And mostly they did an awful lot of movies, mm-hmm. but then the Three Stooges show, I think you're right, was in the 50s.
Yeah.
I love the Three Stooges. Yeah. I just love silly. I just always have. The movies Airplane and The Naked Gun.
See, I'm a slapstick fan. Some people hate slapstick.
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He says have fun, which is good advice. And Jerry does that very, very well. And, you know, sometimes I'm really jealous of situations like this because I know this is going to sound crazy and you're going to say, well, all you have to do is just you don't have to do what you claim you're doing. But it's just the way it is. And I can't help it. Mm-hmm. But I'm jealous of people who can do what Jerry did here and just have fun with a race.
Yeah.
I have a hard time having fun with a race. Once I'm on the starting line, there's just this thing inside of me that won't let me just goof off in a race. Right. I've got to run it as hard as I can run it.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of people who look at me and they go, man, I wish I could run at the front of the race like Dean does. But let me tell you, there are a lot of times where I wish I wasn't doing that and I was doing what Jerry was doing instead. Mm-hmm. So it goes both ways is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I love being at the front of the race most of the time.
Yeah.
But matter of fact, I just ran into the Gallaglies.
Yeah.
They're pulling away from the post office in Dalton when I was there. And they stopped. I started talking with them and I told them this was my last ultra that I'm about to run.
Right.
Because I need to get back to running fast again.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. Yeah. So I got to get back to it anyway. Scripture passage from Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
We need to laugh more. We need to smile more.
Yes, we do. Yep. And the thing about it is we know that being positive, we know that laughing and joking and smiling, we know it's good for us.
Sure.
It really is just like the verse says. It's like medicine. It's good for us. And yet, there are so many people who are determined to be miserable.
Yeah.
And I don't get that.
Social media, I think, is a big part of it nowadays.
Yeah, I think I'm afraid you're right. Anyway, we'll see.
My mom called me about something the other night, something going on in our community, and she's like, you know, did you hear? It was one of those where your mom, did you hear? And I usually, you know, sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but I tend to start tuning people out when it's, did you hear? Especially if it starts, now don't tell anyone. And a lot of times I'll cut them off and say, then don't tell me. But I made the comment to Mom. It was something she read on social media. And I said, let me give you some advice. Get off social media. Because she was tied up in knots about it. I mean, she was just like, and it was something that partly wasn't even true. And there's just no reason to be worried about it. But she was just fretting over it. And I said, get off social media.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, there's, I mean, unless you're a cat video person, there's not a whole lot on social media that makes us smile and laugh anymore. It's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gloom and doom a lot of times.
It is a lot of times. Depends on who's in your feed. Really? Sure. It really does depend on who's in your feed. Because honestly, if I get on only two that I do Facebook and I do X a little bit. I can only handle X for about 5 minutes and then I've got to turn it off. Because it is. It's just people arguing back and forth with one another. And again, it's the people that I follow. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But on Facebook, it's mostly, I mostly go to the Run Club page, honestly, and that's all positive.
Yeah.
So there are some positive corners, but you got to stay in those corners.
Yeah, it's when you wander outside and you're like, and you're just mad when you put your phone down. I'm like,
that's right.
Just stay off of it.
How many times have you been for a run and out on the run, you just feel miserable? Mm-hmm. You just feel awful. Mm-hmm. And then you meet up with somebody you know or something, and all of a sudden you realize you feel better.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I mean,
you don't hurt anymore.
Which means you didn't really feel that bad to start with.
It was all perspective.
Yes.
Change your perspective.
Yep. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. The section of the Bible I was reading when I was reading through this was that section was titled Marks of the True Christian. Mm. And this is, we're supposed to rejoice in hope. We're supposed to be patient when things aren't going well. We are supposed to be in constant contact with God. I mean, that's what this is telling us. And the verse before this one says, be fervent in spirit. And the Greek word for the word fervent it means like to boil over.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. Think about being so excited about having to be patient, that you're boiling over with being patient. You're excited about being patient, waiting for God. That's a hard thing to grasp right there. Think about how hard that would be.
Yeah, I think I was giving this question some thought because the four words that jumped out to me is be patient in tribulation. Maybe because that's where I feel like God has been working on me lately, but I was thinking about this earlier. This went back to a conversation you and I had a few days ago because I struggle in this same area, and we were talking about the idea of engaging in things we hear, things we see on social media. And I've just been thinking lately and watching, I feel like not engaging speaks louder nowadays.
That's a good thought.
Because, and I'm thinking back to when I was young, and you know, I was a cocky young guy, and I would be around people older than me, and I would just be, you know, going on about this and that and this and that. And I remember, I've got a few older men in my life that I can remember. They were stoic. They wouldn't say anything. And I felt like, I don't know, it said everything to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody is, there's just so much noise on social media now that silence speaks louder now. And I think it always has, but even more so now with social media, because, I mean, look in Scripture. What does Scripture say a lot? Stand. Stand firm.
Yeah.
Over and over, it talks about stand. It's not really action. I mean, we're supposed to share the hope. But I feel like we, as Christians, we like to try to engage in, I hate to say debates, because there's times when we should debate.
And taking a stand means that sometimes.
It does. Mm-hmm. But so many times, for me, it's not Spirit-led. Yeah. It's Mitchell-led.
Yeah.
And the best thing I can do so many times is when that thing that is injustice that I'm seeing, or I feel like it's accosting me, it's just not say anything.
Yeah.
Because I think for so many people who are stoking that, they want to see that feed get long. Well, imagine if they said whatever they said and nobody commented.
Yeah. That would speak.
It would shut them down.
And we've seen that before, right?
Yeah.
You've seen somebody, they just say something so outlandish that everybody says, oh, that's crazy. I don't think
I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so many times it's like that's an injustice.
Yeah.
I need to go attack.
Yeah.
Scripture says, doesn't say that.
That's true.
Scripture says, stand firm. And I don't know. I think that's just hit me. Not very recently, but here lately, that has really hit me with, sometimes I can say more just by shutting my mouth.
You know what strikes me about that too, is that person who is stoic and quiet and doesn't always respond, when they do, you pay attention to what they have to say.
That's what I used to always tell my kids when they got out of the car to go to school. Be the person who doesn't say much, so when they do, people listen.
That's right.
And I don't know. I think about, Larry Anderson, Jim Griffin, these people that were just those rock solid people in my younger days. They didn't have to say a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and it translated into all areas of their person. I'm going to tell a funny story here about Jim Griffin. So Jim Griffin is Tyson's now the pastor of Tunnel Hill.
Yeah.
Well, in high school, Tyson used to like to have these boxing matches. You know, Tyson's wiry. He's full of energy. And him and some buddies bought some boxing gloves. And they'd get out in the driveway and box and this and that. And Big Jim come out one day. And Tyson threw him a set of gloves. And it's like, come on, Dad. You know, Tyson's wiry, jumping around. And I wasn't there. But the story goes that Jim just kind of watched Tyson. You know, he's dancing around. Tyson was quick as lightning. He's just watching. And he picks his hand up. If you're watching, he picks his hand up and just, bam, right on top of the head. Tyson just went down. But that's how we that analogy is really how we should be. We need to engage when the Spirit says engage.
Yeah.
Until then, we just need to watch.
Yeah.
And listen and stand.
Yeah.
Because that's what Scripture says to do.
Yeah. Now, when somebody pushes on you, if they're direct,
maybe
the situation where somebody's punching you with those boxing gloves, then you might have to defend yourself.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
Maybe. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. What does Scripture say?
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek.
Yeah.
When you're attacked. When Jesus, do you have nothing to say for yourself?
Yeah.
He said nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, for thought.
I think what I'm thinking is if the gospel is being attacked, for example.
Sure.
Should we stand up and say something at that point?
If the Spirit leads us.
If the Spirit leads us. Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
So many times I'm leading the fight.
Yeah.
Well, and that's I'm the wrong person to be leading that fight.
Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Encourage one another and build each other up. You know, one thing that hit me about this when I was reading this time, because we've all read this scripture a number of times, is that when you encourage one another and you build each other up, it has to be genuine.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that person who that doesn't feel genuine.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like they're just, they're doing it because they think they're supposed to. And that's different than doing it because you want to and because you feel like you should and because the Spirit leads you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's so important. And we can do that, You know, the Bible tells us that we should be praying for our enemies. Mm-hmm. We should feel like we should be trying to encourage our enemies,
sure.
the people we dislike. And so it shouldn't be hard for us to feel like we want to encourage everybody around us if we're supposed to go that far for people that we really don't want to do that for, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's the way I look at it this time. Question, have you ever done something a little silly to help you finish a race?
So I don't know if I've ever done anything to help me finish a race, but one thing I do, and Holly actually captured a great picture of it at the Turkey Trot, is when I see people I know out and about on a run, whether I feel like it or not, I do a heel click.
Yeah.
Holly captured a perfect one.
I saw that.
But it's amazing how that will lift my spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Just that, because I'm trying to be funny. Now, as I get older, like when I landed that heel click, I landed and Christian, my future daughter-in-law, was running with me. I said, "Oh, I'm going to feel that one tomorrow." So I got to be more careful the older I get. But yeah, I mean, doing things like that it always lifts your spirits. And just as you said, just like somebody coming alongside you to run, it's all about our perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
So many of those walls that we call, so many of them can be overcome with just a change of perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I know when my kids come around, Matthew and Caleb, we inevitably at some point in time, if they're around for more than, you know, if it's just lunch, maybe we don't get there, but they come over to the house and we're hanging out, we have dinner or whatever. We inevitably end up watching funny videos or something. It happens every time.
Yeah.
And it's because we just have this default. The three of us have this default to be silly. And I'm sure it's my fault that they're that way. But it's so much fun when we get there. We laugh so hard that it almost hurts.
I probably need to do more of that. You know, I can always tell when Holly is watching silly videos. When she has a little downtime, she'll get on Instagram and she saves these. She saves these. But we'll be the only two in the house. And I'll hear her just hee-hawing. And I know I'm gonna walk in and she's gonna have some video and then she's wanting to show me.
Debbie and I do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the things I like to do if I'm out trying to encourage people who are running a race, especially a longer race. Like, I remember being at the Cap City race. This was in Columbus where he's mm-hmm. talking about this marathon being, and we were there. And as we were cheering people at about, I don't know, it was like 9 or 10 miles into the half marathon race. And as people are going by, I'm telling them, "You look way better than you think you do." It was just kind of a silly thing, but it always brought out a smile whenever I would say that. And I enjoy just trying to be silly around, because you cannot help it. If somebody's genuinely just trying to make you smile by being silly, you just can't help it.
Oh, yeah.
Just can't help it. Question two. What happened the last time you bit off more than you could chew? I know what he means by the phrase "bite off more than you can chew." I know what he's trying to say. But I want to say this. We need to bite off more than we can chew. You know, we've often said, you don't know how far you can go until you try to go too far.
Mm-hmm.
And that's biting off more than you can chew. And so I just think it's important for us to, on occasion, bite off more than we can chew.
Mm-hmm.
And I did this with the triathlon. Mm-hmm. You know, I had on my bucket list, I wanted to run an Ironman triathlon. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for one about 9 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
And, I hadn't done a short one yet, but I figured other people did it, so I can do it.
You can do it, yeah.
Yeah. I bit off more than I could chew, and I remember that first swim in the pool when I did the Run for God triathlon.
Oh, yeah.
And we did the pool swim, and I remember I'd been doing these laps in a 25-meter pool.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was a 25-yard pool, I think. And
then you jumped in a 50-meter pool.
I jumped in this 50-meter pool. I was like, where is the other side of this pool? And so I had that. And then we went to that open water swim.
That's the one I remember.
I've written about. Yeah. Oh, that was, I mean, I was just in
your
a panic.
Eyeballs were bigger than the goggles they were in. Yeah, I remember that.
But if I had done that first, would I have ever gotten to the point where I did the Ironman triathlon? Or would I, had I not known that I had this thing on the horizon where I knew I had to swim 2.4 miles, would I have gotten out away from that dock at that time and said, you know what, this is not for me, I'm not a swimmer, and turn around and swam back to the dock? I don't know. But I knew in that moment I had this thing coming up that I had to do, and it's because I bit off more than I could chew. And I just think it's important because it helps us to do, it helps us to achieve things.
Yeah. Gets outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Have you bit off more than you can chew? I know you have.
I guess I have, but I look at biting off more than you can chew differently, I think. I think I'm pretty calculated.
Yeah.
And the way I think about it, I don't bite off more than I can chew. You know, like scheduling. You know, I'm not going to overcrowd my schedule.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way I think of biting off more than you can chew. But yeah, as far as, yeah, I mean, I'll never forget telling Greg Ellis, yeah, sure, I'll run 100 miles with you on a treadmill. I mean, that was one of those, you're walking to the car and you're like, what in the, why did I say that? That was probably the biggest knee jerk, because I went to that lunch that day just seeing how we could help him.
Yeah.
And I left that day agreeing to do it with him. And you moron, why did you do that?
Well, the day you ran 30 miles on the treadmill just because it was your birthday, that was another
when I went to just run 6 miles.
Spur of the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Biting off a little more than maybe you should have chewed.
I guess I look back at my bull riding days. You know, that every time you get on one of those, that's more than you can chew.
That's true.
Yeah.
Last question. Do you have an old friend you need to connect with who needs a necktie? It's funny that this comes up now. This is not a coincidence. There's an old friend of mine. His name's Chuck Dyer. He and I were just really, really good friends when I was in college and working at a place called the Sports Shoe. And he was one of those guys. He's funny. His father was funny. He got it from his father. And we spent every minute together, we were just laughing all the time. And recently, he and I have been trading memes back and forth through Messenger.
Oh, really?
Yes. And just every 2 days or so, I'll get something from him, and then I'll send him something back.
Yeah.
And it's just been a joy. It's just been so much fun. And yeah, this is he's one of those guys. I need to get in the car. He lives near Atlanta, down in McDonough. I need to go down there, and I need to drive down there and go see him or meet him somewhere or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, yeah, I think we probably all have that old friend.
I connected with one of those friends just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
A guy we hadn't seen each other, really been in contact much in several years, and we went and had lunch. And yeah, it's good. It's good to reach back out to those people for sure.
Yeah. If you got one of those out there. Here I am saying it and not having done it yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah.
And yeah, go out there and reconnect with that old friend, that, especially that one that made you laugh.
Upward running is the best way to stay motivated for your fitness and faith journeys. You get these weekly podcasts, but there's so much more. We have proven training plans available for you, whether you're just at the beginning of your fitness quest or you've been running for 20 years. We have something for everyone, and it doesn't matter where you are with God either. We have something for you there too. If you're not a member, join today at upwardrunning.com. It is the best value you'll find to fuel both your faith and your fitness.
All right, we're back. You know, every year Strava does this year-end thing where they talk about some of the trends on Strava. Mm-hmm. And this year, Runner's World UK came out with this report about it. And the title of the thing is Running Clubs Are Booming, Nightclubs Less So. Mm. That's a good
that
I like
is a
that.
Good headline. Yeah.
Running clubs are on the rise. It says that particularly among Gen Z athletes, 66% of Gen Z respondents versus 58% of respondents overall, said that they made new friends through a fitness group in 2024. Hmm. And 55% of Gen Z respondents versus 48% overall said that their main reason for joining a fitness group in the first place was to make social connections. So that looks to continue in 2025. So that looks good for our upward running run club going forward. And the number of running clubs on Strava have increased 59%.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Just in 12 months.
Yeah. So big year for running clubs, apparently. Balance is the new burnout. So there's, you know, we used to have this phrase, no pain, no gain, pushing ourselves to extreme all the time. And Strava's report suggests 2024 was the year that saw people adopt a more sustainable approach to exercise, with shorter workouts and rest days superseding the need to go full pelt every time and every day, especially when it came to marathon training. Just over half the people surveyed said that their ideal daily workout time was between 45 minutes and an hour, with the medium duration of a Strava activity in 2024 sitting at 53 minutes. Only 16% of people said that they chose to exercise for 60 minutes or more in a single day. That's surprising.
Yeah.
A lot of people are logging less than 20-minute activities, and the stair stepper is a big part of what people are using to do those less than 20-minute activities. It also proved that the marathon, half marathon training blocks don't just involve running, but a lot of people are doing more things in addition to running and logging these things on Strava. So that's good to see. Strength training and cross training and things like that. The average running pace in 2024 was also determined to be 10 minutes and 15 seconds per mile, which shows that people of all running abilities and experiences and levels, and not just record-breaking elites, are participating in the sport and using Strava to track their progress. Now, I know there's people out there going 10, 15 per mile. That is an elite to me.
Yeah.
But for
that to be the average says that there's a large population that's way higher than that.
But, yep, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Strava found that 72% of running goals were met in 2024. That's impressive. 72%. Plus, there was a 9% increase in the number of marathons, ultramarathons, and 100-mile cycle rides being logged on the platform this year. 43% of Strava users hope to accomplish a big race or event in 2025. That surprises me. I thought it would be higher, more than half. But a lot of people want to focus on stretching and mobility or improve their diet or something else like that. So 15 to 20% of people want to do something different than just worry about running.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the barriers to exercise are gradually breaking down. Said even so, when women did get active over the past year, they did so brilliantly. You can tell this is from a British thing.
Yeah.
According to Strava's 2024 report, women were 20% more likely than men to claim a crown for the fastest time on a Strava segment, proving that women are continuing to progress in their chosen sports. While men still logged more marathons than women on Strava, 8% versus 5%, half marathon participation was almost on par with 16% of women and 17% of men uploading 13.1-mile running activity. I think, personally, this is all Strava information. That's important to recognize because I don't think that's true. I think there are more women running half marathons than men. I think we've seen that. I think I see it every time I go out and see races. And I think that the reason why they're showing that it's equal is because more men are more likely to use Strava than women are.
Well, and I think that makes a good point. For that reason, I think that the average pace per mile is probably faster in this stat than it really is. Because the fact that you're on Strava means that you're, I don't want to say serious, but you're more than just recreational. I don't upload to Strava.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's a large percentage of people out there who have just started running, maybe new to running, and they don't use Strava.
Yep.
Some people just don't want other people to know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, these are very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, it's time for Dean's Thoughts, and that's a time when I share something that I've written about the intersection between running and faith. Is there a difference between being unafraid and lacking in fear? This one's called Being Unafraid. We're all afraid of something. For example, I'm afraid of horses. I know, that sounds irrational, and to some degree, it is. But being around horses is very uncomfortable for me. Many people are afraid of a particular sickness. Cancer is super scary, I would say, to most people. And that is a very serious thing to consider. There are other things that scare us that are far less serious. Heights, for example. Many people are afraid of peering over the edge of a parapet. And there are many things that scare people. Some don't like confrontation, or spiders, or the color red. For some people, the list of things they are afraid of is short. For others, it seems never-ending. And the level of fear ranges far, too. I would be lying if I said that cancer doesn't scare me a little, but I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not going to freak out over my fear of horses either. But that is not the case for everybody. I remember a lady whose fear of snakes was so severe that it precluded her from going into any location that might have snakes. I saw her almost have a nervous breakdown because she was in a pet shop and caught a glimpse of a snake in an enclosed habitat. It was severe and life-altering fear. Some people are afraid of failure. Those people are limited as to what they will try to do. Run a marathon? Well, no, I can't attempt that because I might fail. These are people who do not make New Year's resolutions, not because they don't think they're a good idea, but because we all know the success rate of New Year's resolutions. You can see how fear can limit what we're willing to try. The problem is if you don't try hard things, you never complete hard things, and that is a travesty. Everyone should feel what it is like to do something like cross the finish line of a marathon a year after beginning running for the first time as a lifelong couch potato. I heard something incredibly profound recently. A man was eulogizing a friend of his, and he said that the thing that made his friend special was that he was unafraid. He wasn't afraid to be embarrassed or to do things others wouldn't try, for example. And then it hit me. People who do great things are unafraid. If you're going to accomplish a big goal, you have to be unafraid. Going deeper, I don't think being unafraid is the same as the absence of fear. I think it's much more profound than that. Being unafraid means facing your fears with enthusiasm. It means you know the fears exist, but you're going to do it anyway. For me, it might be riding a horse, even though it scares me to do so. And when we can get to the point of being unafraid, we can get closer to our potential because we won't let doubts and fears stand in the way of what we want to do. Is running a marathon hard? Yes, it is. And it is a scary proposition for many people. And it can never be conquered until we are unafraid to face the scariness. Your fear may not be a marathon. It may be going out for a run in the cold or the heat or the rain, or it may be personal. Maybe you're afraid to face the person you need to apologize to, or the fact that you really need to lose the extra weight. Don't try to get over your fear. Instead, face it, unafraid. Like a professional boxer, look it straight in the eye and say, "I'm going to beat you." Face it, unafraid. After Jesus' death, Peter was afraid of what would happen to him if people found out he was associated with the man who had just been crucified. He was so scared that he denied knowing Jesus, not once, but three times. Fast forward 30 years, and Peter died as a martyr for Jesus. Not only had Peter been able to face his fear of being tied to Jesus, but he even did it to the point of death. What happened to change his perspective? Jesus left the stone rolled away so that we could see that he was alive. That's the power of the resurrection, and it left Peter unafraid. So don't try to get rid of your fear. I don't believe there is any such thing. I believe we just learn to face our fear unafraid. From a running perspective, that means embracing the difficulty in it, knowing there is satisfaction on the other side. Facing your personal fear means looking past it to the potential positive outcome if you are willing to face the situation unafraid. Spiritually, look to Peter's example and know that you can be just as on fire for Jesus as he was. You just have to face things like a fear of rejection, unafraid. What's the worst that can happen? You're certainly not going to be crucified upside down like Peter may have been. So go out into the world sharing who Jesus was, unafraid of anything that might get in your way.
It's a great story, Dean.
Well, before we get emails, I left the Peter thing open. Some people are like, no, Peter was crucified upside down. There's mm-hmm. others that say, not so fast. Mm-hmm. We're not sure. So I'm in the camp that says, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. You know me. I'm this practical guy who asks all sorts of questions and sometimes ones I probably shouldn't ask. So here's my question. If Peter was so bad, let's say you're the person who's going to crucify Peter. What's the purpose of crucifixion? It's not just to kill somebody. Mm-hmm. It's to make them suffer mm-hmm. while you crucify them.
Why
right?
would you grant them a wish?
Why would you grant them a wish? And then my thoughts are, if you're crucified upside down, it's not going to last as long.
Right.
You're going to pass out within minutes.
Yeah.
Because you're upside down. And so, I don't know. That's my thoughts about the...
It's one of those things we'll just never know.
Well, we might know it. Maybe when we get to heaven,
well,
we can ask Peter.
This side.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Anyway, being unafraid is different than just getting rid of your fear. And I never thought about that until I heard this speech. Actually, this was on a television program. I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's really powerful. Have you ever thought about the difference between fear and being unafraid? I mean, it's not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we're unafraid, I think it means we're unafraid of the consequences. So, like, if you're going to run a marathon, one of two things can happen. You can either eventually cross the finish line of that marathon, or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether you don't make it through the training or you don't make it to the finish line in the race, you don't make it to the finish line. But why is it such a big deal if you don't make it to the finish line? There's a lot of people who have tried and attempted to run a marathon and haven't finished.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. You're not a loser if you don't finish, but people are so scared.
I think failure is the number one fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's
failure of some kind. I mean, it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Failure is the number one fear.
We, you know, this mention that this guy said this man was unafraid to be embarrassed. That's a pretty good quality to have. It really is. It's a bad one.
It can be a bad one.
It can be a bad one, but it can also be a really good one,
right.
too. And yeah. And I think being unafraid, too, is in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think getting to the point of being unafraid is a process where it takes time to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was a kid, I was just telling the dentist this the other day. I was terrified of needles when I was a kid. I mean, like, pass out from anxiety, scared of needles when I was mm-hmm. a kid. But I decided, because I was so scared of needles, that at one point that I was going to start giving blood on purpose
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to get that fear to me, I knew was irrational,
right?
But it was still there and I wanted to get over it. So my way of getting over it was to say, okay, once a quarter, the bloodmobile comes around, I'm going to be there and I'm going to get my blood drawn and I'm going to have to face that needle once a quarter. And you know what? Today, needle doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Being unafraid is just changing your mind about the way you look at things. I think it's that simple.
Do you feel like this? I don't know why the whole time you're reading that, courage just kept jumping out at me. Do you feel like there's a difference between what you're calling unafraid and courage?
Oh, they're very similar, aren't they? I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I think you're right I'd have to think about that a little. Here's my question. You know, we've seen these people who are just frozen with anxiety for a race.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we see these people who they almost never perform well in a race, and it seems like there's some kind of mental block that stops them from performing well in a race. Do you think maybe this is it? Like, maybe they're just... They say the right words to say I'm unafraid, but they're really not.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the reason I've kind of been quiet here at the end is I'm trying, the whole time you kept reading this, I kept thinking courage. And
yeah.
I'm trying to differentiate because I think there's a difference and I was trying to figure out how to say it. I think what you're describing is because you said it. You said your fear of needles you knew was misplaced.
Yeah.
And I think being unafraid is the opposite of that. courage is overcoming a fear that may very well be well-placed.
That's a good point. You know, yes.
Daniel in the lion's den.
That's a well-placed
fear. He wasn't being unafraid.
Yes.
He was being courageous.
Yes. Yeah, good point.
I guess that's, in my brain, that's how I'm separating these two. Because at first I thought, well, he's just talking about courage. But as you read it, I was like, no, that's not courage.
Yeah.
That's being unafraid.
Yeah. That's interesting.
At Upward Sports, we're all about helping you on your fitness journey. But we also want to support you on your faith journey as well. You can sign up today for the self-paced Bible in a Year Challenge and listen every day as I read through the entire Bible in 365 episodes. As a bonus, I also give you helpful tips of the day and finish with an encouraging quote in each episode. You must be an Upward Running member to participate in this exciting and edifying challenge. Sign up and start listening today.
Every week. Well, I say every week. It's been a few weeks, but every week normally.
I just said I feel like I'm a little rusty getting started back after the new year.
Well, let's share a reason why running and or walking is so awesome. You know, if you're a runner, we've just passed into a new year recently. And new years mean new fitness goals, new running goals, new walking goals. It could be running and walking. It could be fitness related. It could be something else. Maybe it's a diet. Maybe, you know, I mentioned that I want to change my diet. I like New Year's because I like the idea of starting over.
So have you put, I know we, what is something, did you put anything like down on paper or earmark in your head, this is my New Year's resolution?
No, I didn't. But,
yeah.
Well, I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
But I do have a particular goal.
Yeah.
A very specific running goal.
Right.
For this year. So my specific running goal for this year is to win the USATF Club Cross Country Championships in my age group, which I'll be 60 this year.
That's a pretty lofty goal.
Yes. Yes. I have finished in the top three in the past.
Yeah.
I'll be 60 this year. So this is my opportunity. When you're the young person in the age group, there's your opportunity. I didn't get to run when I was 55. I think I would have won my age group when I was 65. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I was 55. That was the year I ran the 1636 5K, and I ran really well that year, but it was everything was shut down because of COVID. But this year, I'm hoping to, you know, I'll be 60, so I'm hoping I can get back in that kind of shape. Not that fast, but something in this equal to.
I don't know how I didn't lead with this. You know, for so long, we even had a long segment one time talking about professional running.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be so proud of me, Dean.
Uh-oh, did you watch some professional running?
Holly and I just watched the whole sprint series.
Oh, wow.
On Netflix.
First and second season.
First and second season.
See, I haven't even seen the second season myself.
I'm not a fan of short distance track athletes. I don't know. Why is it? I talked to Lane about this. We had a long conversation about it the other day. The longer the distance, it seems like the more humble they become. And maybe it's because the distance demands that is kind of the conclusion. But the shorter the distance, man, Noah Lyles is just absolutely over the top.
You know what I think it is?
What's that?
I think that it takes a certain amount of aggression to be good at as a sprinter.
Yeah, but you can be aggressive and not arrogant.
And there are some of those. Kenny Bednarik comes to mind.
Who's the Jamaican guy that finished second to Lyles in the Olympics?
Kishane Thompson.
Love that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it showed it. You hadn't watched the second season, but on one particular race, it was the Olympic trials. I mean, the press was just, and he had won. Press was coming after him. He snuck right through the crowd and out and went to the practice track with his coach and was sitting there all by himself.
Wow.
He didn't want to have anything to do with, he said, that's not me. That's not who I am.
Yeah.
And I love, especially in contrast to
Noah
Lyles. But, man, it's hard to argue with Lyle's success. Yeah, I mean, he pretty much speaks it into existence, it seems like.
Well, yeah, and I think there's – I admire the drive it takes to be as good at something as he is. And I do think it takes – it takes a certain amount of chutzpah.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, they have a hard time keeping that all inside and just letting it come out their legs. And other people – you know, I mean, you look at Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt was, he was a pretty cocky guy, but it came out different. In such a better way.
He was confident.
Yeah.
Cocky and confidence, I always say there's a very distinct line there that.
I think about it closer. It was just his personality. It's just the way it came out. He thought just as highly of himself as Noah Lyles does, but. It just came out. But it came out playful with him.
But Noah Lyles, it comes out as degrading to the other.
Yeah.
You're putting the other down. Where I feel like Usain Bolt, he was always kind of lifting others up.
He wasn't lifting somebody else up when he's looking over his shoulder at somebody while he's with his hand up while he's crossing the finish line. I mean, he did some of that.
See, I thought the look over and the smile at, what's his name?
You thought that was okay?
I thought it was great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was great.
All right. Well.
Because I don't think he was, I don't know how to explain it. We can argue about this all day long.
No,
I think there's a very big difference in Usain and Noah.
I think one is natural and one is put on. That's what I think. I think
maybe that's what it is.
I think with Bolt, it was just natural. That's just who he was.
I think Bolt was a showman.
A natural showman. And I think Noah Lyles is a forced showman. That's what I think.
I guess, and maybe that's the difference.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference, but it was a good series.
But Noah Lyles comes from humble background. And
his mom, I was just waiting on her at any minute to start whacking him across the head when he talked like he does sometimes. Because she seems like a very down-to-earth lady.
Yeah, she does.
So, but it was good.
That's good stuff, though. It is worth watching, I think, to learn about that side because it's a different world. It's a very different world. Yeah. Well, I am going to run my last ultra here. Actually, it's next week from when we're recording this, so I'll be past that by the time this comes out. Mm-hmm. It will have already been run. Or it's possible when this comes out, I'm still running it. That is possible. Not likely.
Because you start when Saturday
highly
morning.
Unlikely. Yeah, I would have to be going for 45 hours in order for that to happen. Yeah. Which would be the record for this particular backyard ultra. But, you know, that wouldn't even be halfway to the world record.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The world record's over 100.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, anyway.
100 hours.
100 hours. 100 yards. Over 400 miles.
100 yards.
100 yards is 100. Each loop is called a yard.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, it's a 4.1667 mile loop.
And that is a yard.
And each one of those is a yard.
Huh.
So the idea is to complete as many yards as you can. And the world record for a number of yards is over 100.
Wow.
I just don't know how you stay awake.
How did they get yard out of that?
Backyard.
Oh, okay.
It's called a backyard ultra.
Okay.
So it's,
Yeah.
It must have started on somebody's piece of property somewhere and they called it a backyard ultra and it stuck.
Yeah.
So, but they're becoming very popular.
Yeah.
So anyway, That's my goals.
Well,
what about you? What kind of goals you got this year?
I want to prove my doctor wrong.
All right.
She's of the thought that I'm going to have to go on a statin to.
Yeah.
Because I do have family history.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't believe that. I think I can fix it. So, by whatever means.
Yeah.
Prove my doctor wrong. I'm not going scorched earth or anything. It's really common sense. I mean, when you turn that smoker on more than once a week, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea.
Well, good. Nothing else, though?
Not really.
No.
No, we got a lot going on this year.
You're going to do some rucking this year, though.
Yeah, I will do that. I'm gonna see how that goes. I could see some challenges that I might take on, but I want to get past a couple months of doing it first to see how it is. But it's a lot harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I mean, that backpack is sitting right over there. You throw it on your back, it's 25 pounds. You think, that's not that bad. Until you get 10 minutes in and you're like, oh, this is getting, Holly bought a vest and hers came in first. So I started wearing it first and it's 25 pounds, but it goes, half of the weight's in the front of you and half of it's on the back of you.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that bad. This is way harder because it's all on your back. So you're really having to engage your core the whole time to stop from falling backwards.
Seems like it'd be good for you.
Yeah, we'll see.
What about from an upward running standpoint? What can we look for this year? What do you think? I mean, I know we've got the new app coming out, and that's we're going to continue to improve it over the year.
Yeah, we had a goal of 50 churches for this year. I think that was very that was a very conservative goal because I mean we got as of today we got 25 ready to sign up today.
Yeah.
If we can get this app out in the world.
Yeah.
I think we want to get the app out. You know, we're going to obviously hear plenty of, hey, what about, because we've all tested it, but you never really test it till you get it out there in the public.
Right.
So getting it working seamlessly is priority number one, and starting to build that community and seeing where it goes. I have ideas in my head of where I'd like to see it go. I think those are a little bit premature right now. But are there other things? You know, we introduced walking.
Yeah.
You know, are there other endurance, individual endurance things, rucking?
Yeah.
Other types of fitness opportunities that can fall right into the wheelhouse of what we're already doing.
That'd be pretty cool.
I think we swung the door open to walkers. I think there's a lot more hinge left on that door to swing open.
Good stuff. Well, how about a trivia question for this week? First trivia question of the year. If you look at 5K runners in general, what is the average finish time of all 5K runners? Any idea where that would be in the ballpark of? You probably give a good guess. If you just guessed, you'd probably be in that ballpark. But look that up. Get back with me. I don't know that there's no one study that proves that.
I bet it's higher than I'm thinking.
A number.
It's higher than I'm thinking.
You think? Yeah.
If you took the average.
Yeah. So if you don't find an exact number, send me something anyway. And if you're the first one to send something that's in the ballpark, then you will win $25 off in the Upward Running store.
Yeah.
And so you got to send that to dean@upward.org. in order to win, be the first one. Motivational thought of the week comes from a guy named Scott Belsky. He said, success is not about being the best. It's about always getting better. And I'd go a little further and say that success is not about being the best, but it's about trying to be your best.
That reminds me of the quote Sha'Carri made on this. She said, I'm not back, I'm better.
Yeah.
Now that's enough. Her and Noah Lyles are two peas in a pot right there.
Yeah. I'm not fully on board with you on Noah Lyles, but I'm fully on board with you with her.
Yeah.
Well, we're off to a good start in 2025. It's going to be a great year. Stay with us. And hey, share this podcast. Like it and rate it and all that stuff. And make sure that you're sharing this with friends so that we can get the word around. The more people that can hear about Jesus who are in the running community, the better, right? We're just trying to make the community a better place. So share it.
Yep.
And until next time, may God bless every step of every run and or walk. Go out there and shine your light.
Good job, Dean.
For more information about Upward Running, visit upwardrunning.com. If you have questions about your salvation, click on the Peace with God tab. There is nothing more important. Thanks for joining us today.